Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have with us again today Steve Norman. Steve's been here all week with us. If you're just tuning into the program this week, Steve is a member of our staff at Renewal Ministries. He's leading a young men's ministry called Forged, which I hope we can get some time to talk about today and just kind of share some good principles from it. And he and his lovely wife, Katie, are Canadians. They moved down here to Ann Arbor a few years ago to join our ministry. They have two lovely children. Welcome back, Steve.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. Happy Friday.
Yeah, thanks for being here all week.
It's been great. It's been great.
Thank God it's Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah, always. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about why are you doing and why do you have such a passion for working with young men? And how is it being expressed currently in your life?
Yeah, you know, there's a bit of a learning curve moving down here to this Ann Arbor community because the Lord has done a tremendous work in this community over the last number of decades, generations, and there's just some already very well-formed boys. You know, it's a little different to an extent from the city back in Canada that I came from, just trying to convince God potentially is real in a lot of that ministry to, like, a lot of these boys seem to know Jesus, know the Lord, and they just want to be closer to him. Mm-hmm. And so for me, in my own life, in my own journey, my relationship with my dad and my own experience of encountering God the Father, realizing that for a man uniquely, I mean, women as well, but uniquely for a man, that the faith is bestowed, that the Father wants to bestow an identity onto a man, is not something we can go read about, nothing that we can just talk about. It has to be this experience of a man pouring in, ideally God the Father, but through a man, ideally, again, their human father, this identity of sonship. Mm-hmm. And so for me, having not really received that growing up and encountering, receiving it in a profound way in my mid-20s, I just have a desire to give that, respond to the God's call in my life, to give that to other men.
Yeah, and so some of our friends who are listening that didn't hear the story, you're underlining the difficult, challenging relationship with your father, where that didn't happen.
Right.
It's quite dramatic. And friends, if you didn't have a chance to hear it, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, the program on Monday. Steve's just very honest and heartfelt conversation about the difficulty and the challenge in his own relationship with his father. But then you also told us on other days, men came into your life at key times, like the Legionnaire priest.
Right, Father Kenneth.
Who just kind of walked with you, and he was doing some of that, wasn't he? The very bestowing, would you say?
Unbeknownst part of my story, grew up in the Catholic home, but came to be a self-identified, self-proclaimed atheist. And I met this priest, and we ended up gathering for coffees to debate about each other's points of views. And I kept wanting to go back every month to these coffees because I found them interesting. He knew the existentialist atheist philosophers better than I did. So I found them interesting. But in hindsight, he was giving me something that I hadn't received, that I felt that I lacked. And I just wanted more of that. Again, mm-hmm. he was about 20 years older than me. And he just was pouring into me life and encouragement and desiring to know what was on my heart and mind and holding up mirrors to help me see myself as I was saying it.
What kind of, do you remember any specific ways that's expressed, those things were expressed or to?
Yeah, I mean, he challenged me. So a lot of it was just time. He was reaching out. Yeah. He was like, hey, Steve, it's been a little while. I'm here if you want to get together. You know, there was no pressure. There was no lording anything over me. But you could tell, like, he desired to be with me. A guy that disagreed with his points at that time, it seemed like he genuinely liked being around and wanted to be around me. And then at different times when he, like I said, he would hold up mirrors and poke holes in my atheistic philosophical beliefs, he would say directly, he's like, well, that doesn't necessarily add up. And he would challenge me. He's like, what do you think about that? That's not congruent. It's not logical. And he wouldn't say that in a, aha, I gotcha, Jesus is real. Yeah. He would just say that because he genuinely wanted me to think it through.
Yeah.
And so I always appreciated that. He was willing to be in the trenches of my life with me. It seemed like he desired to be there with me and walk. And now for him, he's operating from this place of the Heavenly Father. He was walking me closer and closer to the Lord. And so when I did have my reversion and he became my spiritual director, it was just this like tangible experience for me of what again, every man needs to receive to come to know God the Father. It's, yes, the Lord is not limited to this. He can just reveal himself to a man in a vacuum if he wanted to. But it seems throughout history, the patriarchal system, in a sense, that the father is meant to be, or through other men, bestowing the faith onto to young people is the way it's meant to be.
It's interesting. There's like, because it doesn't happen in a lot of ways, in a lot of homes, there's ways that kind of happens in the culture, like athletics, for example. Like, right. Think about great athletes who have the blessing of having an excellent coach.
Yeah.
And then the coach challenges him, believes in him, pours himself out for him, calls him up high,
right.
And all that kind of stuff. And so there's environments and there's alternatives kind of in the culture, but those are just images of the higher reality of what is moving in that man's heart as he's finding himself and finding that this man cares and challenges and I don't have to be afraid. Someone's walking with me and believes in me.
Right.
And that's critical stuff. And it's meant to happen man to man and all that. But it's all meant ultimately to lead to the imparting the identity of a son of God.
Right.
My ultimate dignity. But that's really what you're doing. That's your passion, really, isn't
it? Yeah. And I would say Father Ken knew his role. He wasn't seeing himself as my savior. He was not trying to be Jesus for me. He was helping me to kind of pass a baton, something that he himself from his own father, he was forged. He received this bestowment process that he was helping me and then wanting to equip me after my conversion to go directly to the source. Like the go to Jesus. Jesus wants to continue to bestow. Scripture says that like what a good father does discipline in their children out of love though. Yeah. And so to discipling me in such a way where he wanted me to continue through the Holy Spirit to be discipled by the Lord and to allow to be open to trust the Lord that even when it is in the form of a cross, that the Lord's with me. And if it's of him, this might be challenging, but this is good. And also through my spirit, you have what it takes to carry this cross. I'm not going to give you anything that, you know, my grace is sufficient. And to come to believe that from a tangible experience for me and this Father Kenneth, for me, this is now my passion, my desire. And I have a very blessed and opportunity to uniquely work with high school and middle school boys. And like I said, a lot of these boys desire this. And I have a little more freedom with them to call them out and say, remind them, this is who you are. In the light of who God is, how great he desires you to be. Therefore, how you're acting right now is not in line with that. And the boys are like, for the most part, they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, keep challenging me. You know, we do workouts, we train for this thing called the Spartan Race. And we get to the boys, you know, at Pine Hills Boys Camp, those boys get put through the ringer in a lot of ways. And from the outside, some people might see it sometimes as almost like this boot camp or too much to an extent, but it's not. It's these boys want to be challenged. Yeah. They desire to go through a hard thing and come out the other side like, oh man, I just did that. And oh man, this is hard, but I can get closer to the Lord. I can actually hear his voice and have my day-to-day life genuinely impacted by relationship with the living God.
Yeah. You know? No, it's interesting. I want to ask you kind of the different elements that are in play. Like this summer, there's a whole bunch of things that you set up that you're just working with guys. And just to say, I think the description of we're talking about camp and boys being needing to be challenged in different ways and you do it with teams, you do it individually, but then you bring teams together and they help each other to get from A to B to C to D to achieve something and all that. Yeah. Because I think for a lot of men, I read a book a few years ago called Why Men Hate to Go to Church.
Interesting.
It was a big study that was done, and it's quite interesting. And that is that, you know, most men enter the world kinesthetically, like physical encounter, work, you know, challenge and all that kind of stuff. And they said, but their experience at church is come in, sit down, be quiet, behave.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's very passive a lot of times.
Right.
And if you're not converted, like if your mind isn't renewed and you don't understand what's going on the altar, you don't understand what mass is about. Yeah, you're disconnected.
Yeah.
And it just seems like this passive thing and everybody wants me to just be quiet and behave. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And it misses the point. And so describe the different ways in which you're trying to help encounter these young men and challenge them and inspire them.
Yeah. I mean, the fullness of the church, right, is it's the male and female, the complementary reality is that mother church is feminine. Like church, when we go to receive, even as men, we come to receive the Lord. But then we're at the end of mass challenged and sent to go out. And that's the evangelization is more masculine to not that women can't do it, but it's meant to be outward facing. And so if you don't get that full picture, it would be not relatable all the time. So with the boys, I mean, Pine Hills Boys Camp, I think, I mean, at least I can speak for Forged, our motto is formed in faith, refined in friendship. Mm-hmm. And so these words, I mean, are very ministry forged, is this whole, you know, the iron sharpens iron, you know, the purification process of gold, right? You put it through intense, rigorous experiences and the impurities are identified and come up to the top.
It's right out of 1 Peter, 2 right? Peter.
Yeah. And we get rid of that and then it goes down into the cooling and like bit by bit, the gold can come more and more pure, but it's hot, it's intense. But for us to be refined in friendship, when I'm doing hard things, whether it's physical or spiritual with my brother, we know the arena that we are intentionally and willingly standing, going into. It's because we believe, first and foremost, from the love of the Father, that he's called us to grow in these ways and that it's not just going to be pain for the sake of pain all the time. It's so that we can become galvanized. It's so that we can become more rooted at the foot of the cross, this cruciform, and be the men that he's called us to be, which ultimately, going throughout this process, enables us to love, to give of ourselves, to lay down our life, to wash the feet of our brothers, our, in a literal sense, our wives, our kids, and to be the man who, like a Maximilian Kolbe, who just is willingly going to give up his life for another. That man was galvanized in a daily prayer life and subject himself to discipline, again, all in the context of love of the Father, being called to an adventure and a mission. And so with Forge and Pine Hills, we do that in our workouts, but even our intellectual, we're doing a Bible study this summer, a book study called The Cross and the Switchblade, a fan favorite in this community, it seems, of like, how can we be in tune with the Holy Spirit? We do all this in the context of brotherhood, that some of these things are going to be hard and challenging, but we're here together that if you fall, we're not going to leave you. We're not going to condemn you, but we're also going to not let you stay there. We're going to remind you of the direction you want to go. And let's go, let's do this together.
Yeah, it's so good. It reminds me of years ago, St. John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger, you know, brought together the movements in the church, you know, for on Pentecost in 1998, way back then. And one of the things he said was, in all these dynamics, there are like 500,000 people at the thing, almost 100 different movements across the church, you know? And what he was saying to them, he said, you know, you're different, but you have some things in common that you all share. And he said, number one, you've all encountered a person that has called you and you've said, yes, you've been converted and your heart falls in love. You begin to follow him. But when that happens, when that fire begins to burn and it's personal, begin to know him, that fire that's burning in you leads you to come together with others and into community and communion of some way. Brothers and sisters sharing a common love, a common passion. Yeah. We're all imperfect. We're sinful. We stumble. We fall. But this is why we come together. And then finally, he said, and you all our community on mission.
Yeah.
And giving that fire away to other places. See, that's the normal Christian life, he said, basically.
Yeah, you know? It should be. And, you know, I would kind of emphasize the Catholic Christian life in the sense that, like, Paul in his writings talk about community and, like, having being of one mind and, like, one belief. And he himself making sure that he was in line with the leaders and, you know, Peter and everybody. Like, there isn't our relationship with the Lord. There is a personal dynamic. And there is, like, go shut your door, spend some time in prayer, go to adoration and just have that intimacy. But that's not the fullness of Christian spiritual life. It's meant to be ecclesial. It's meant to be a movement of people who are bringing it into the world.
Yeah. So good. Thank you. Man, time's flying. Steve, thanks for being here all week.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Thank you for all the beautiful work you and your lovely wife, Katie, are doing.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Brothers and sisters, if you enjoyed the program, tell other people about it and some of the stories and testimonies you had over the last time. Spread them around. It can upbuild people, encourage them, and actually give them a vision of what's possible. Give them faith and encouragement. But have a blessed weekend. Don't forget to celebrate the Lord's Day. Hopefully we'll see you again next week. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.